presenting Hop Farragut, America's ace of the airwaves.
CX-4 calling control tower. CX-4 calling control tower. Standing by.
Control tower back to CX-4. Wind southeast. Feeling 1200. All clear.
Okay. This is Hop Farragut. Coming in.
Yes, it's America's ace of the airwaves. Coming in for another transcribed episode in the adventures of Hop Harrigan.
Say, gang, let's talk about various phases of aviation today. You know, there's one man who really has the right approach for selling private planes. He's William Blease, vice president of Consolidated Volpe, builders of the Stinson. Blease is heading an aggressive new campaign to sell as many Stinsons as possible. His idea is to sell the planes like automobiles used to be sold. His sales plan is all wrapped up in a slogan, and a good one, too. Teach them to fly, and they'll want to buy. The top-priced Stinson is not just a plane, it's a flying station wagon. And Blease thought up fancy colors to tag onto the ships. Instead of red or blue, it's Stinson maroon, or Riviera blue. For more sales appeal, Blease is advertising space for golf clubs and suitcases, better vision, and more elbow room. All in all, the Stinson is sure to give its competitors a run for their money during the years to come. And say, gang, now is as good a time as any to remind you that Christmas is practically here. You know, around the Christmas season, the mail carriers have their toughest time. It's a cinch there'll be the usual jam of mail the week before the holiday. Well, one of the best ways to make sure your Christmas cards and small packages arrive on time is to send them by air mail. The price is still a nickel an ounce. And for that 5 cents, you get the fastest service this side of the moon. Also, remember that the low rate goes for several points outside the United States, including Hawaii, Puerto Rico, Alaska, Canada, and Mexico. I'll be back later, so don't forget to listen. And now to our story. With Hop and his knowledge of what the Wailing Witch is as bait, a trap has been set in the underground aircraft plant. A trap which the boys hope will capture a dangerous killer. The young pilot was left alone in a small room in the dispensary, and Tank and Major McCall waited in an adjoining room, listening through the open air vent for the first sounds of a possible sneak attack. Nothing happened until after midnight, when suddenly Tank smelled smoke. Opening the door, he and the Major saw bright orange flames at the end of the tunnel.
Hurry, Tank. We can't let it spread.
Right with you.
Careful now.
Nice way, the fire alarm. Ring it.
Well, I'll be. Tank, it's a large wooden crate.
Huh?
Help me take it apart. That'll stop the fire.
What's a burning crate doing down here?
I don't know. Fire will die out now.
Joker, Johnny, Pop.
Hey?
We left Pop alone.
Good heavens.
Come on. Heck with the fire.
Can you see anyone up ahead?
I can't see nothing. Pop! Pop!
Tank, he can't hear you.
I know it, but somebody's in his room. Maybe I'll scare him away.
That's exactly what we don't want, you idiot.
Nuts to plan, Kings. I shouldn't have let Hop talk me into this in the first place.
Here's his door.
Quiet. Go on in.
The door's locked.
We didn't lock it.
Hop! Can you hear me? Hop! Hop!
Open that door! Hop!
Somebody's shooting.
Oh, no.
Hey, hit that door.
Let me at it.
I'll break it down.
Again, Tank.
Yeah. One more and we'll have it.
Out of the way.
Stand back now.
What do you mean, stand back?
Everything's okay. Come on in.
Pop!
Great Scott, boy, you all right?
Yes, sir. I'm fine.
But we heard shots.
Well, they went wild. When you started pounding on the door, our friend here was distracted and I got him. Tinker fashion.
Our friend? What are you talking about?
Yeah, he's there behind the table. Sorry I had to hit an old man, but things were getting a little rough.
Old man? Why, it's Max Kell.
Pop?
Yes, kind, gentle old Pop. He's our man.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
Drag him out, Major. We'll try to bring him to.
Right.
Major McCall! Major
Somebody's
McCall.
Calling you, Major.
I'm in here.
Major McCall, where are you?
I'm in here.
McCall. Is everything all right, sir?
Yes. How about that fire at the end of the tunnel?
Under control, sir. It wasn't very big. But somebody cut the alarm wires. Only found it by accident.
Well, don't worry about it. It won't ever happen again.
What's the matter with the guy on the floor? He hurt?
Not half as much as he's going to be.
What?
Never mind, Sergeant. That'll be all. Return to your post.
Very well, sir.
I'll call you if I need you.
Yes, sir.
Tank, close the door.
It won't stay closed. I thought you'd clear off the lock.
Well, do your best.
Here's some water, Major, if you want to throw it in Kell's face.
Right.
That should do it. Hey, Hey, Hop, what's this all about? You don't really mean old Max killed Roy Saunders and wrecked all the planes.
Yes, Tank, you did.
He's coming out of it.
Good. But I thought Carla Davis... Which is exactly what he wanted you to think. He kept talking about her all the time, remember? As a matter of fact, he talked a little too much. I didn't hear him say nothing.
Let me up.
Careful, Max.
You tricked me.
You tricked yourself, Max. We couldn't prove anything against you, but you weren't sure. So you overplayed your hand.
Then you knew all the time?
Let's put it this way. I suspected.
When?
You never told me you did. Back in Yellow Creek. Remember when we found Max in Saunders' office?
Yeah, but he told us...
Never mind what he told us. When I asked him whether he'd seen Roy Saunders that night, he said he hadn't.
Well, that was true.
Of course. But if you had been following Carla to see what she was doing and you didn't know anything about Roy Saunders, how did you know whether you'd seen him or not? You didn't know what he looked like.
There were
a lot of little slips like that, Max. The business with the cream soda, for instance.
Carla drinks cream soda. I don't.
That's why you used it to split the tubes. But you neglected to wipe your tools afterward. I have them in that box. They're still sticky with the stuff.
I still don't get it. Why should he want to wreck the plane?
Because he wanted to take over the design himself. He wanted to knock Simon Gore out of business. Do you remember when he came to us practically asking us to find something wrong with the plane?
I thought he was worrying about Gore getting into trouble.
He was worried about not getting the design himself.
Well, why shouldn't I have? I did all the work. It was my experience that made the plane what it was.
But, Hop, tell me, where did Roy Saunders fit into all this?
Roy was apparently backing Max. He would have supplied the money when Max finally took over the design. That's right, isn't it, Max?
Yes. But he tried to trick me. He tried to take everything for himself.
So you killed him?
I had to. You were holding him prisoner. You'd make him talk. I was afraid.
So Max cut the bolts holding the propeller, huh?
That's right.
And shot at us when we was in the tunnel.
Right again.
Hey, wait a minute. When we was trapped in that soundproof room, we saw somebody in green coveralls. Gore and Carla Davis was the only ones wearing green coveralls.
There's a set of green coveralls in Max's locker. I saw them.
He made a quick change, that's all.
Gosh, and I blamed everything on Carla.
Yeah, we have a lot of apologizing to do, fella.
I see. But it sure looked like it was her.
Yeah, all Max's work.
Well, I'll take him down to my office and call the sheriff. He can take over from here.
No, you're not going to put me in jail. I'm an old man.
The way things are stacked up against you now, pal, you ain't going to get much older.
Oh, please, I didn't know what I was doing.
Come on, Max.
Mr. Harrigan, Mr. Tinker, you can't let old Pop down.
I'll pop you if you'll shut up.
I'll see you later, boys.
Right, sir.
Come on, Max.
No.
That's that. I still can't get over it. And for Pete's sake, if you knew all the time, why didn't you tell me? Because I wasn't sure, fella. There were too many angles. If I had told you, you'd have gone rushing around like a bull in a china shop and maybe spoiled the whole setup.
You gonna tell Gore?
Naturally.
Boy, the things I said to him.
Oh, well. Everybody was under a strain. He'll understand.
What about his flying wing?
That's good, Tank. The Army will have a good ship if they take it. Well, now, I'm going to get myself some sleep.
Huh? Now?
I'm supposed to be a sick man, remember? I'm going to make the most of it.
Oh, yeah. That's a good idea.
Now, why don't you find yourself a bed and cork off, too?
No, I think I'll have something to eat first.
Fine. Now things are really getting back to normal.
Hop.
Yeah.
When are we going back to Lakeville?
As soon as you're ready.
First thing tomorrow morning?
Okay.
Oh, swell. I'll be glad to shake the dust of this place off me and get out in the open for a change.
Well, good night, Tank.
Night, Hop. Sleep good.
So, the mystery of the Wailing Witch has been solved. And the boys' ever-present desire to take things easy running their airport is near fulfillment. So they think. But something is happening in Lakeville right now, gang, that will have a tremendous effect on Hop and Tank. We'll know more in just a moment, so stand by.
You know, fellas and girls, when we round up these up-to-date items on aviation, many times we run across some pretty cute stories. Aviation is, of course, a serious business, but not always. For instance, take the case of Captain James Green of British European Airways. His office was stumped when he turned in his expense account after one of his trips. On the account, Captain Green included the cost of 8 cans of beer. Well, the airline officials couldn't let that go by without finding out more about it. They wanted to know exactly what he used the beer for. When he was called on the carpet, Captain Green came up with the right answers. On the way home from Brussels, Belgium, he said, he discovered a leak in the hydraulic landing gear system. We found the leak and fixed it, said Green. And then we filled the hydraulic system with beer, let the wheels down, and landed. And here's one I ran across the other day. Did you know you can turn a giant aircraft carrier around without using its engines? Yeah, it took a group of airmen on the carrier Leahy to figure that one out. Their scheme proves most useful in small harbors, and incidentally saves a huge tugboat bill. Here's how it's done. Four planes are lashed to the flight deck at one end, and four at the other. They are placed on opposite sides of the deck, facing inboard. A pilot, or a ground crewman, climbs into each plane and gives it full gun. If the planes weren't lashed down, they'd take off, of course, but clamped down tight, the eight of them working in two separate teams, they twist the flat top around in a few minutes. It really takes a flyer to show people how to get things done. Fellas and girls, America will need flyers and technicians to man the planes of tomorrow. There's a place in aviation for you. So always remember, America needs flyers. And now back to our story. It is late evening in the town of Lakeville, but a sizable crowd of people has gathered at the railroad station to witness the arrival of the midnight freight. When it pulls in, everyone surges toward a rear car where a large crate is being unloaded. A puzzled brakeman stops the local freight agent.
Hey, what's all the excitement?
First time I ever saw a bunch of people meet a freight.
There's something special on this trip.
Yeah, what?
A bell.
A bell? What's so special about that?
Well, it's for our town hall. You see, the people of Lakeville here contributed almost $10,000 to buy food and clothing for the people of a small town in Czechoslovakia.
What's that got to do with bells?
Well, the people of Czechoslovakia sent the bell to us as a token of their appreciation. I understand it has a beautiful tone.
Well, can you tell that?
A very nice gesture, I think. Oh, there. They must have it on the truck. Now, that's all you have for Lakeville, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it.
All right. Signal the engineer. You're 5 minutes behind the schedule already.
All right. Be seeing you.
As the long line of freight cars slowly glides forward, picking up speed with every turn of their wheels, a shadowy figure suddenly leaps to the platform from his perch on the ladder of one of the cars. He looks at the crowd surrounding the crate at the end of the platform, nods, then ducks inside the station. Closing the door of a phone booth in the corner, he puts through a long-distance call, and a moment later speaks softly into the mouthpiece.
It is here in Lakeville. Yes. I saw it being unloaded with my own eyes. Get here as quickly as you can. We must work fast.
Gang, who is this man? And what does this strange phone call mean? This is the beginning of another exciting adventure for Hop and Tank, so be sure to listen. Tune in and fly with Pop Halligan, America's ace of the airwaves. Hold on, Hop. We'll be seeing you same time, same mutual station. Bob Harrigan is a transcribed, copyrighted feature appearing in All American Comics magazine.